I want to start this morning by asking a question. How do you measure how much someone loves you? Now, over the nearly 35 years of my marriage to Leslie, we've often played this sort of game where Leslie would randomly ask me, "How much do you love me?" My answer would then be something glib, like, "Oh, more than I can possibly say." She'd then push further by asking the same question, but with an even greater emphasis on the words "much" and "really." How much do you really love me? Now, at this point, I need to be really careful. How do I give an amount to reflect my true love for her? See, whatever I might use to quantify my love, it will always fall short. If I say, using my hands, "I love you this much," my hands opened wide, then there's always scope for more. And so she may feel that I don't really love her enough, and that I'm holding back. Even to the moon and back gives room for more. Why not the sun and back? Why not Mars or Jupiter or beyond? You get my drift. But then there's the second dreaded question. So how are you going to prove it? This is an even harder question to answer. What proof can I possibly give that adequately quantifies my love for her? Maybe I could buy her something. But whatever I buy only reflects a finite amount of love. Maybe taking her somewhere special or cooking her a favourite meal. Maybe that would do the trick. But again, they don't fully express the love I have for her. But simply saying, "I love you more than words can say," doesn't really do it either. It just seems a bit of a cop-out. You see, the thing is, all too often, when we look for love, we do exactly the same. We look for something that can be measured, something that can be touched, felt, seen. And the promise is that when what we are given falls short of our expectations, we start to feel unloved or not loved enough. When we measure someone's love in terms of gifts given or money spent or in any other way, we're always in danger of feeling disappointed. Now, this morning, as we continue our foundation series on the groundworks of God's love, I want to look at how God demonstrated his love for us in a way that shows the full extent of his love. If we're to survive the ups and downs of life, the hurts, the disappointments, the challenges that confront us, then we need to know the limitless, unchanging, indisputable love that God has for you and for me. Not limited by measurable demonstrations that we might look out for, but shown in all its fullness, in all its intensity, and in all its passion. Now, one of the key scriptures of this whole series is found in Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 19. I'm just going to read this again to you. "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And that is my prayer this morning as I share with you, that you will know by revelation the fullness of God's love for you, demonstrated in the way God did. You see, if we're going to live unshakable lives in this world, we must be rooted more deeply in God's love. In other words, living with the roots of our lives deep in the love of Christ for you and for me. And what is the root that we send into the ground of that love? It's the faith that we are loved. The root of faith. There's a phrase in 1 John 4 verse 16 and it says what the root is. It says, we have come to know and have believed the love of which God has for us. We've come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. Last week, Paulo reminded us that we need to experience the Father heart and his love, not only in our heads as knowledge, but also in our hearts through Holy Spirit revelation, so that our actions, our hands, truly reflect the fullness of that love in ways that are unshakable, whatever life throws at us. The love that God has for us is the ground. And the root that we send down into that ground to nourish, to be nourished by it, is our faith. We have believed the love that God has for us. Believing the depth of God's love for you and for me is the key to us growing stronger in our faith. In a recent blog that I read, it said this: faith makes us stronger, braver, better. Faith helps us through times of trouble and allows us to bring others going through their own sets of trials. So it allows us to help others going through their own sets of trials. See, rooting our faith in knowing and believing the immeasurable width, length, height, and depth of God's love is what gives us that faith. The problem is that most of us think we really understand the love of God, but our experience proves otherwise. Even when we think we fully know the love of God, we can still feel lonely, still feel depressed, still feel discouraged, and still feel defeated. Why? Because we often try to measure God's love in the same way as we do human love. It's a bit like picking off the petals of a flower. Have you ever done that when you've sort of said, he loves me, he loves me not, she loves me, she loves me not, and you pick the petals of the flower. And we do that in life. Life is going well. He loves me. I've lost my job. He loves me not. I've had a pay rise. He loves me. I'm suffering from ill health. He loves me not. I really felt God's presence in the worship. He loves me. My prayer wasn't answered. He loves me not. You see, this is the roller coaster life we find ourselves in when we don't fully know God's love. And as far as loving others, most of us would admit there are many people in this world we find really hard to love. And since we don't fully understand the love of God for us, it is very difficult to love others in the same way. We cannot give away what we do not have for ourselves. And when we struggle to believe God's promises will come to pass, that's unbelief. But the root of that unbelief is a lack of love. Galatians 5 verse 6, it says this, faith works by love. That means that love is the driving force behind our faith. Remove or diminish love and faith ceases to be what it should be. You see, many of us try hard to believe. We try hard to have faith, when what we should be doing is seeking a greater revelation of the love of God for each one of us. Then faith would naturally work. You see, as Christians, we shouldn't be picking the flower and the petals going, God loves me, God loves me not. That's not how we should live our lives. Instead, we should be looking to the demonstration of God's love, a demonstration of the Father's love for each one of us. And that's the cross of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5 verse 8, it says this, it says, God shows, demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, most often when the Bible attempts to express God's love, it makes a beeline for the cross of Jesus Christ. Because the cross is God's statement of just how much he loves you. When you think of the immensity of God's love, the first thing the Bible often asks us to do is consider the price paid by Jesus on the cross. In Hebrews 12 verse 2, it says this, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set before him. That's us. That's you. That's me. When Jesus was on the cross, the joy that kept him going, the passion that fueled his endurance of pain, was knowing the freedom his death, burial, and resurrection would produce in our lives. You see, Jesus wasn't forced to die. He wasn't overpowered. He wasn't outnumbered. He wasn't tricked. He chose the cross because he loves you and he loves me. Jesus' passionate love for us took him to the cross with its pain, humiliation, and complete separation from God. And then onto the resurrected life that means victory over sin and death for you and for me. That's passion. God's love is very personal. It doesn't matter where we've been. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter what we've experienced. God loves each one of us. It doesn't matter what you or I may have thought about ourselves or what other people may have said about us. God loves you and loves me. This is what God says about you. You are honored. You are precious in his eyes. That's the love of God for you and for me. In 1 John 4 verse 10, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And what makes this love so amazing is that it is highlighted against the backdrop of a debt that each one of us owes. You see, at the core of God's being is his holiness. He is a holy God. And in order for us to have any kind of relationship with a holy God, we have to find a way to remove the sin that separates us from him. The problem is there's nothing we can do to accomplish that ourselves. It's too big a debt for us to pay. We can't buy God's favor. We can't work for it. We can't earn it. And we're never going to be good enough. God's holiness demands that sin be paid for. And so God found the way to do that, the way of the cross. When we go through a trial, we tend to ask ourselves, does God really love me? How come I don't see it? Now, when that happens, it's time to bring in the cross. When we don't see the cross of Christ as the greatest demonstration of God's love for us, then a terrible thing happens. We end up doubting that God really does love us. You see, if I believe that the greatest demonstration of God's love for me is my health, then when I get sick, I'm going to start doubting God's love for me. And if I believe the greatest demonstration of God's love for me is in my possessions, what happens when I lose those possessions? I'm going to start doubting God's love for me. But when I come to see that the cross of Christ is the greatest demonstration of God's love, then a wonderful thing happens. I never again have to doubt that love. You see, even though everything around me may fall, the cross of Christ will stand tall. Romans 5, verses 6 to 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I've got a book here by John Stott. It's a study guide. It's a study book. It's a pretty comprehensive book called The Cross of Christ. Okay? And in this book, John Stott writes this. He says this: personal tragedies, floods and earthquakes, accidents which cost hundreds of lives, hunger and poverty on a global scale, the cold vastness of the universe, the ferocities of nature, tyranny and torture, disease and death, and the sum total of the misery of centuries. How can these horrors be reconciled with the God of love? You think now to COVID, you think now to what we're going through, what people are suffering around the world, then we can question God's love. How can we reconcile that? And he goes on to say this: whilst Christianity offers no glib answers to these agonized questions, it does offer evidence of God's love. The evidence is the cross. And he goes on to say this: whilst we can all give a definition of what we think love is, John, who wrote the Gospels, he dares to say that apart from Christ and his cross, the world would never have known what true love is. Now, we've all experienced love to some degree, but John says that only one act of pure love, unsullied by any taint of ulterior motive, has ever been performed in the history of the world, namely the self-giving of God in Christ on the cross for undeserving sinners. That is why, if we want to look for a true definition of love in all its purest form, we shouldn't go to a dictionary. We should look to the cross of Calvary. True love is God's love, not ours. And he showed it by sending his one and only Son into this world, that he might die for us and we might live through him. And in sending him, he came, God came himself, to die the death and bear the wrath that we deserved. An act of sheer, pure, unmerited love. Now, there's a song that we sing quite regularly at the moment in our worship times, and one of the lines in that song says, "You gave everything to me." It's a small part of a song, but it is such a powerful thing to say. You gave everything to me. You see, God held nothing back when he sent Jesus to die on the cross. He didn't just send a prophet. He didn't send an angel. He sent himself in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, the cross is a huge subject to tackle. If I was to show you this book, which to be fair is very small writing indeed, there's only literally about 4 or 5 pages in the whole book that talk about how the cross demonstrates the love of God. Because the cross is so much more. And we can spend years studying everything that the cross achieved, that the death of Jesus Christ achieved. And that's brilliant and that's amazing. And I would recommend this book if you really want to study the cross in all its form. Read this book. Okay, there is so much there. But it's not just about knowledge. It's not about just knowing what the cross is all about. It's about having revelation of what the cross demonstrated to the world. God's love for every man, woman, and child. The cross points to the ultimate demonstration of love. Last week, Paola reminded us that the Holy Spirit is a gift that God gave us in order to help us understand and help us to know the reality of who he is and what he's done. And so we know the Holy Spirit can come and can say to us and affirm to us that we are his children, that we can call him Abba, Father. But it also says in Scripture that the Holy Spirit can affirm that we are completely and unconditionally loved by God because of the cross of Christ. So I'm going to finish by looking at some of the key aspects of the cross. Not so that we get more knowledge, but that we get a deeper revelation by his Spirit of just what the cross demonstrated, the love of God for you and for me. I just want to pray first. Father, I just want to pray right now that for every man, woman, and child, every single person watching, listening right now, that your Spirit will come and your Spirit will bring fresh revelation, that our root of faith will go deeper into the ground of your love, that there will be a greater revelation of the cross of Jesus Christ and just how much it demonstrates your love for each one of us. I just pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm just going to share some of the key things about the cross to finish off. The Father sent his only Son into the world so that I might not die in my sins. He loves me. The Son emptied himself and took on human form to rescue his people. He loves me. Jesus Christ loved his Father and perfectly obeyed on my behalf, even unto death on a cross. He loves me. Jesus stepped forward in the Garden of Gethsemane, bowing his knee to his Father's will. He loves me. He was beaten as to be unrecognizable. He was whipped scourged, spat on, mocked, slapped, bloodied, beaten, shamed. He loves me. The Father crushed his own Son. He gave him the cup of wrath bearing my name. God did not spare his own Son. He loves me. The light of the world was snuffed, the bread of life broken, the King of Kings executed, the Lamb of God slain, Son of Man tortured, the Son of God forsaken, the Rock of Ages stricken, the blood of Christ shed. He loves me. And the Father raised the Son from the dead. The Son reigns over the universe as my great prophet, my great priest, and my great king. The Spirit has made me new, is sustaining repentance and faith, and has sealed me for the day of Christ. He loves me. Jesus, our life, is coming back. He will marry us. He will take us into his kingdom to reign with him. He loves me. John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Can I just encourage you, as we come to the end, to prayerfully ask God for fresh revelation of the demonstration of his love through the cross. One way you can do that, if you're not in a group, is to join one of our weekly groups. They'll be getting some notes on this and be looking at some other things to go deeper with that, but an opportunity to look again fresh at this. Not to study it because of knowledge, but to prayerfully consider it, to go deeper in our faith in the God, in the love of God for each one of us. And finally, if you don't know the love of God today, if you don't have that personal relationship with him right now, then you can, simply by asking him to reveal his love to you by his Spirit, confessing your need of him in your life right now, saying sorry to God for the life you've led up to this point. It's as simple as that. You see, God is wanting you to know how much he loves you. And the cross, it was his demonstration of that. You see, the cross has made a way for each one of us to come into an amazing relationship with God the Father and to experience the fullness of his love today. Have a great week. Really pray that you and us and all of us will have that greater experience of God's love over the coming weeks and months. Take care. God bless. Goodbye.